After 4 years and 3 months, from 1914 to 1918, of continuous warfare, at precisely the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month of the year 1918, and that is about exactly 100 years ago and 5 minutes precisely, the guns of the Western Front in World War I finally fell silent. Today is Veterans Day. Why does Veterans Day occur on November 11th? Well, it used to be called Armistice Day. And armistice referred to the armistice of World War I, or the ending of World War I. Armistice refers to a cessation of fighting. And that occurred at 11 a.m. That's when the guns fell silent. 11 a.m., the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, November 11th. That's why we have Veterans Day on November 11th every year. World War I was the deadliest conflict in world history to that point, and is believed to have been responsible for 10 million military deaths and 7 million civilian deaths. And that's not counting then all of those who were horribly wounded and injured and maimed. And yet, the great ironies which make these figures, 17 million dead, even more tragic, or that World War I was fought for nothing, gained nothing, and settled nothing, really. Why do I say that? Because would you believe that after 100 years, historians have still not been able to arrive at a consensus as to why that war even occurred? Furthermore, there was relatively little conquest of territory involved. You know, traditionally in wars, I guess you might say historically, you know, wars involved the conquest of territory. That didn't occur very much in World War I. As a matter of fact, in the Western theater, there was a swath of land called no man's land. You had the Allies on one side and basically the Germans on the other side. And they fought over basically a stretch just maybe hundreds of yards or a few miles wide. And they would go back and forth over this land. Very little conquest. The front just kind of stayed static in one place there for 4 years. And furthermore, World War II, which was even more deadly, with an estimated 50 to 80 million deaths, that's military and civilian deaths. World War II is by many believed simply to have been an extension of World War I, because World War I apparently didn't settle anything, and so approximately 20 years later, World War II started. So it was really tragic. World War I was really tragic from these viewpoints. But anyway, it ceased at the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month in 1918. So, the 11th hour, hence the title of the lesson, has come to symbolize lateness, or the last opportunity. Perhaps there is no greater example of the concept of something being too late than the 11th hour when World War I ended. For it was a war which should never have started, and once started, continued insanely too long and late. Millions of lives, billions in treasure, were needlessly spent, so that World War I serves as an immense and tragic testament to human stupidity and cruelty. And yet, there is an even greater 11th hour at which every person arrives. And that, of course, is the last hour before his life ends. The 11th hour is indeed the threshold of eternity. And that 11th hour is so great because of the immense spiritual consequences it holds. For how a person spends his last hour will determine how he spends eternity. The 11th hour is that time when the sinner, who has waited long in sin, arrives at his last opportunity to obey the gospel and save his soul. The 11th hour. Let's look at a couple of spiritual applications of this 11th hour. First of all, I want to emphasize the point that the God we serve is a God of the 11th hour. We can rejoice and be happy in that great and grand fact. Someone just read from the Matthew, the 20th chapter, verses 1 through 15. I believe it was Jonathan, was it? Yeah. We read from Matthew 20, verses 1 through 15, which contains the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. And as that Jesus relates in that parable, here was a vineyard owner. He wanted someone to go out and harvest his crop. And this parable, the story behind it, or the story of it, is based upon a 12-hour workday. Not an 8-hour workday as we have today, but a 12-hour workday. And he went out at various points in the day to try to hire laborers to go out and pick the grapes in his vineyard. He even went out in the 11th hour. Now, the 11th hour, I guess the workday extended from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. So he even went out at 5 o'clock in desperation to find more laborers to pick fruit for him. He wanted them to pick even in that last hour of the workday. And of course, that vineyard owner represents the Father in heaven, always seeking people to go into his vineyard, his kingdom, that is. So those are the basic points of the parable. So we are taught in that parable that the 11th hour is not too late to obey the gospel. Usually you don't find people obeying the gospel in the 11th hour. I'll emphasize that too, and I think I already have. But I have known of instances where people in the last hour, so to speak, of their lives have obeyed the gospel, and I was so happy for that. Our God is a God of the 11th hour. He does not say, oh, you've waited till 11 o'clock, I'm not going to accept you into the kingdom then. Even in the person's last extremities, God seeks to save them. And what is even more beautiful, you might say, is that since salvation is by God's grace, whether a person is a lifelong Christian or he is a last-minute Christian, makes no difference to God. God's rewards are not given according to the length of one's service. If you serve God faithfully just in the 11th hour of your life, we can rejoice in the fact, you can rejoice in the fact, that you can go to heaven with those who have served God all their lives. God is a God of the 11th hour. A good illustration of this from the Scriptures is that of the thief on the cross. He was certainly and quite literally in his 11th hour. The last portion, little portion of his life. And Jesus told him, after he had said, remember me, Lord, when you come into your kingdom. Jesus told him, today you shall be with me in paradise. Here's an example, perhaps the outstanding example in the Scriptures, of a thief on the cross, literally in his 11th hour, being saved. We can be so thankful that that is the case. That is representative in a powerful way of the mercy of our God seeking us even in our 11th hour. Second, God's people are also people of the 11th hour. Now, I'm not saying by that they should wait until the 11th hour. That anyone should wait until the 11th hour to be saved. What I mean by this is that God's people seek salvation by regarding themselves as always living in the 11th hour of their lives, whether they literally are or not. Because God's people are ever conscious of the fact that their time on earth is very limited. Even if they live a relatively long period of time, even into their 90s, their time here upon... Well, what is that to eternity? Their time here upon this earth is limited. They know that no additional time to obey and serve God is guaranteed to them, and that they might even now, without realizing it, be in their 11th hour. Lots of people have died thinking that they would live to see the next day. They pillowed their heads at night thinking they would awaken at dawn, but never did. They were in their 11th hour and did not realize it. But God's people live as if the clock were always about to strike midnight. In Mark, the 13th chapter, verse 35, Jesus is encouraging His disciples always to be on the alert, because their Master could return at any time. And there Jesus says specifically, "Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening, at midnight, at cockcrowing, or in the morning. Be on the alert." We may be in our 11th hour and not realize it. They know that the only way not to be caught in disobedience is to be at all times prepared to live their lives always as if it were their 11th hour. Paul makes this point in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 11. I don't think that I want to read that whole passage. Paul makes the point that there's no need for them to be told when the Lord is going to return, because He's going to return as a thief in the night. The fact that He could return at any time tells them that they should be alert and sober. So he says in verse 6, "So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. Let us live as sons of light, that is, in righteousness at all times. Let us be dressed and ready to go at all times. That way, no matter when our Master returns, we will be ready." So, the Christian is a Christian because he knows he does not have all the time in the world to indulge in sin. He knows he might be in his 11th hour, and he must use what time he has to serve God and to prepare himself for the judgment to come. Again, in a passage that is similar to the one that we just looked at in 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul says this in Romans, the 13th chapter, beginning with verse 11. He says, "And this do, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone, and the day is at hand. Let us therefore lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the lust or for the flesh in regard to its lust." Very similar to what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. Jesus said that there are 12 hours in a day, and therefore we must always be working. We may be in the 11th hour. "Prepare to meet thy God," Amos memorably said in Amos 4, verse 12. So the Christian knows his time in this world is brief, and that the world is unreliable. It can change in the blink of an eye. The 11th hour, what we might call the last hour, can be a very dangerous time. It can be dangerous for a few reasons that I want to mention. It can be dangerous because it is then that Satan might make his final, most fierce and forceful effort to take a person's soul. Reminds me of what John said in 1 John, the 2nd chapter, verse 18. There he said, "Children, it is the last hour. And just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have arisen. From this we know that it is the last hour." Satan is making his final push in the last hour. Well, there were others who lost their souls in the latter hours of their lives. Job's wife, as recorded in Job 2, verse 9, was so frustrated with God that she told her husband, who looked like he was about almost dead, "Curse God and die." She was urging him, "In your last final hour, curse this God who apparently," she might have even said, "obviously has done you no good. It has not done you well to serve this God who has left you in such a condition." So she said, "Curse God and die. In your 11th hour, curse God." There was also Solomon in 1 Kings, the 11th chapter, verse 4. It says, in his later years, or when he had gotten old, his wives stole his heart away from God to serve false gods. And then there is a later king of Judah, Asa by name. In 2 Chronicles, the 16th chapter, it says that he did not depend on God for his salvation from his enemies, for rescue from his enemies. And even later on, when he was diseased in his feet, even then, it says, he sought the help of physicians rather than the help of God. Earlier, though, Asa had been a good, righteous king of Judah. But in his latter years, that was the time when he turned away from God. Even recently, I have been struck by the phenomenon of people who were faithful to God, or seemingly so, in their earlier years, wait until they get maybe just in the last few years before death, and they stray from God. I'm wondering, why wait till then to become unfaithful? Why then, in your last hour, become unfaithful? Why use the 11th hour of your life like that? But also, the 11th or last hour can be dangerous because it might not be identifiable for what it is. In other words, a person might be in the last moments of his life, last hours of his life, last days of his life, and not realize it. Not everybody knows when he's going to die. Some people die in accidents or suddenly from something like a heart attack. They don't know. They didn't know that that was going to happen. They were in their 11th hour and didn't know it. Now, as a biblical example of this, I think about Ananias and Sapphira. They're in Acts, the 5th chapter. They had lied. And as a result of lying, now these were Christians, or they were supposed to be, but because they lied, they fell down dead on the spot. They were in their 11th hour and did not realize it. James, in James, the 5th chapter of his letter, verse 3, warns the rich that they have been greedy in their last hour, effectively. It says, James 5, verse 3, "Your gold and your silver have rusted, and their rust will be a witness against you and will consume your flesh like fire. It is in the last days that you have stored up your treasure." Did they realize that? It was in their last days, the 11th hour of their lives, you might say, that they had stored up their treasure. So the great tragedy is that the sinner might not know that he has entered the 11th hour of his soul. He might not know that Christ is about to return and catch him unprepared. He might be turning a deaf ear to what is the last opportunity for him to hear, consider, and obey the gospel. If he had known that he was in his last hour, then he might have conducted himself in an entirely different manner. But in a way, that brings up my last point. The 11th hour is dangerous because a person might not care that he has arrived at his 11th hour unprepared. You know, a lifetime spent in sin has a way of dulling a person's conscience and leaves him unprepared to make full and proper use of his 11th hour. I have known of people who were obviously approaching the point of death. Even then, they did not turn to God. Why is that the case? Well, I can't enter their minds, but I suppose I don't know. I don't know what they're thinking, because that's not the way I would behave. But perhaps they've just gotten to the point where their consciences do not have the sensitivity that they once had. They have gotten to the point where they no longer care. They're no longer receptive to the pleadings of God's Word. So, here's the point. How a person spends his life is probably how he will spend his 11th hour. Now, that's important. Do you care how you spend the last hour of your life? Then you need to be caring how you spend the first hour and the second hour and the third hour, so to speak, the sixth hour and the seventh and eighth hour. You need to be concerned how you spend the 10th hour of your life. Because how you spend all those preceding hours is probably going to be how you spend your 11th hour. And how a person spends his 11th hour is probably how he will spend eternity. The upshot of that is, where do you want to spend eternity? Be concerned then throughout your life about how you're living. If you want to be prepared for eternity, don't wait until the 11th hour. Live for eternity in the first through the 10th hours of your life. Because a person might be snuffing out forever the last spark which might have been able to reignite the fire of his conscience. Don't turn away your ear from the Word of the Lord. The writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews 6, verses 4 through 6, indicates that people can be or can come to a point where it is impossible to bring them to repentance. Yes, if they've been spending their first through 10th hours in sin, they're not going to feel the sensitivity of conscience then, of conscience, that will allow them in their 11th hour to make that change. On this point, it's important to remember, and I did refer to one thief on the cross who was saved, but there were two thieves on crosses with Jesus. One was saved, and it seems that the other one was not. Even in what he knew to be his 11th hour, at least according to the New Testament record, he did not repent. That ought to be a sobering thought and illustration to all of us. In conclusion, let me say this. While people ought to rejoice and be grateful that God waits for them, even until the 11th hour, we don't properly show our joy and gratitude by making Him wait for us until the 11th hour. And furthermore, no one should be foolish enough to think that there is any kind of clock or any kind of calendar that will allow them to be able to determine when the 11th hour of their souls is. Therefore, the only alternative is, as I said earlier in the lesson, let's live every hour of every day of our lives as if we were in the 11th hour as far as that is concerned. It may be that there's at least one person here today who is sensitive to what I've said about the 11th hour. Even now, you may be in the 11th hour of your soul. Think about that. Do you want to leave this place unprepared to meet your God? We give you the encouragement and the opportunity now to come forward in faith and in repentance to confess before us your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, that you might then be baptized into Christ and you can leave this place with confidence, even if it were your 11th hour. As if it were your 11th hour. If you have since obeying the gospel strayed away from Christ and wish to come before us and let your needs, your sins be known so that we can work with you and pray with you and rejoice with you in your repentance, won't you come forward? Let your needs be known as together for your sake we now stand and sing.